Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it. Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what'd you think of Parenthood?
The movie,
not the actual act of parenthood that you and I both live.
Well, I'm really glad that you went ahead and lined that out for me. I liked it. I mean, Steve Martin's a delight, and we'll get into the rest of them after a bit. But I like it. So
good.
Let's talk about it.
All right, so for those of you who didn't read the title of this episode, we are discussing the 1989 Ron Howard film, Parenthood, starring, but not limited to, Steve Martin, Tom Hulce, Rick Moranis, Martha Plimpton, Joaquin Phoenix, Keanu Reeves, Jason Robards, Mary Steenburgen, and Diana Wiest.
Mm-hmm.
This was like an all-star cast back in the day.
Still kind of an all-star cast.
Yeah, with the Grammy-nominated song by Randy Newman.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this movie has a lot going for it. It is about the Buckman family. Not just Steve Martin and his wife and children, but his siblings and their family and his parents. Just the Buckmans. So the core of the movie is around Gil Buckman, played by Steve Martin,
mm-hmm.
and his wife, Karen, played by Mary Steenburgen, and their three kids, Kevin, Justin, and Taylor. As the movie goes on, and I'm going to kind of touch on each of these kind of points just individually. So the plot with Steve Martin's family is Kevin, their oldest, is having some issues, some emotional issues. The school is concerned. Keep in mind, folks, this is back in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
They want to send him to a special school because the teacher is spending more time with just Kevin, calming him down and everything, than the rest of the class, and it's not fair to them. And Gil and his wife understand this, they know this, but they understand that there's a big stigma that goes with this, and they don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
We also find out that Gil is in a precarious position at work. He's supposed to become a partner at his firm, but you know, the newer guys are coming in. They can put in more hours. They're not talking about the problems with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that story arc is spent with Gil trying to figure out a way to, quote unquote, make Kevin more normal, a more well-adjusted kid. So he coaches the Little League. We'll circle back to this, I'm sure. But when the balloon animal cowboy can't make it to Kevin's birthday party, Gil dresses up as a cowboy and just runs amok with the kids, and they all have a great time in the hopes that he's going to be a better father than his father was to him.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, he quits his job because he's absolutely pissed at how things are going, only to find out that his wife is pregnant with their now fourth child. And his story wraps up with him coming to terms with, okay, life isn't as bad as what it seems. I love my wife. Let's have this baby. He ends up getting his job back because the boss calls him and is in hysterics because they need him.
Turns out, just bringing in new clients don't mean diddly if you can't do the work.
Yeah. So, at the end, Steve Martin and his family, they're okay. So next that, we have...
That's 25% of the movie.
That's 25% of the movie, yes. So next we're going to focus on Gil's older sister, Helen.
Boy, howdy.
This is a... Yeah. She's divorced. The ex-husband wants nothing to do with her or the kids because he's got a new family now with new kids. Her kids, Gary and Julie. Julie is in, let's say, senior in high school, and she's dating
Todd.
That Todd. Helen doesn't approve of Todd, but Julie absolutely loves him, and there's conflict there. Gary doesn't say much. He comes home. He's always carrying this brown paper bag, goes in his room, locks the door. When he leaves his room, he padlocks his room shut. He's very withdrawn from everything going on.
Just to interrupt for about 10 seconds,
mm-hmm.
My door would have been removed had I tried that crap with my parents.
Yeah. And I, given how Helen reacts to Gary whenever he shows up, I think it's she's willing to let a lot of things slide with him mm-hmm. to make up for no dad.
Yeah.
Because he apparently left the picture when he was a baby, and he doesn't know his dad.
Yeah.
So she's harder on Julie than she is on Gary, and she's willing to let Gary mm-hmm. get away with a lot more. Not with murder, but, you know, she's all, oh, hi, honey.
Yeah, a little bit sickly sweet.
Yeah. Come to find out, Gary, having no real male figure in the house, is going through puberty, doesn't understand it, thinks he's a freak for the things he's feeling, and it takes Julie's now husband, Todd,
yeah,
to kind of talk to him. And Gary starts coming out of his shell a little bit. He understands, okay, I'm not a freak. There's nothing wrong with me. He starts to interact more with humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, Helen and Julie have a fight. She leaves. She ends up marrying Todd. They move into the house because... reasons. They're in high school.
They don't have a place to live.
They don't have a place to live. There's drama that goes on there. In the end, Julie's pregnant, and Helen does what she can to try and save their marriage, even though she's pretty sure it's not going to last.
Yeah.
With the quote being, I want to give you guys everything I can. That's what I can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's half the film.
Yep.
So.
The other half is shorter.
The other half is shorter, yeah. Gil and Helen's younger sister, Susan, is married to Nathan. They have a little girl. Oh.
Patty. Wait, what?
Patty,
three?
Somewhere in there.
Because they talk about preschool. So I'm
preschool,
guessing
yeah.
three
so,
to four.
3 to 4, yeah. Patty, Nathan is one of these super smart people.
Mm-hmm.
And he is projecting that on Patty. She is a very intelligent little girl. And he's trying to build that up so she is like a genius.
Yeah.
Susan is more laid back and wants more children. Nathan doesn't because there's studies that say, you know, only children are more successful or with a 5-year gap between sibs.
Mm-hmm.
It puts a strain on their marriage because they want vastly different things.
Yeah.
In the end, Susan says she's going to leave. Nathan realizes, okay, maybe by talking about these things, I've said this is what we're going to do and not taken any of her wants and needs into account. And by the end of the movie, he's lightened up. Patty is becoming... what you would call a more normal child. She's interacting with people. She's having fun as a child.
Yeah.
And they're about to have their second kid.
Mm-hmm.
Then we meet Larry.
Ah, Mozart.
Yeah. Larry is the black sheep of the family. He's the youngest.
Dad's favorite.
Gone. Yeah, dad's favorite. He's been gone for God knows how many years, comes back, brings his son with him that nobody knew he had.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. The kid's name is Cool.
Yeah.
Apparently, Cool is the byproduct of a hookup with a Vegas stripper who had to leave the country because she killed somebody.
You know, as you do. This is hardly the least believable part of the movie.
Yeah. So, with Larry, what we find out by the end of the movie is he is indebted to bookies for, you know, 26 grand, and they're going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, the dad, the patriarch of the family, the grandpa, whatever, he wants to help Larry, says, listen, I can't give you this money. I will give you a job. We'll pay back the bookies $1,000 a month. Whatever it takes, we will do this. You learn the job from me, the family business. I'll retire. You take over.
Shortly over 2 years, they get all their money back. You get a business. Everybody wins.
Larry, who's big into gambling and get-rich-quick schemes, decides, you know, I just got a phone call from this guy in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go down there and see if this works out. And if it doesn't, we'll put your plan into effect next.
Yeah.
And ultimately leaves Cool with Frank and his wife so they can, you know, raise him, knowing full well that Larry is never coming back. Mm-hmm. He's skipping the country. He's gone.
Yeah.
The movie ends with Helen having found somebody to share her life with, gotten married, and is having her third child. The family is reunited, minus Larry, in the hospital when she gives birth. And this is where we see that everything's worked out for everybody, and they've become a bit more of a cohesive family unit than they were. Overall, it's one of those, I'm not going to say a feel-good movie, but at the end, the people you end up caring about have it better off than they did when the movie started.
Well, it's a kind of a slice of life thing.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Because there are some really deep lows in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some really amazing highs. You know, I will say also that, by the way, Grandma has got to be my favorite character. Like, Grandma knows
great
what's
grandma.
Up. Yeah, Grandma knows
great
what's
grandma,
up.
Great Grandma, actually, yeah.
You know, and that was one of her last roles. She died 10 years after making the movie at 100 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of a bit part. She ends up moving from family member to family member. Not out, just, and then they say it's because she wants to stay with so-and-so. Okay.
Yeah.
But she gives this great speech about a roller coaster where I've never felt more terrified yet exhilarated in all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted to ride the merry-go-round. It just goes, it does nothing. It just goes around. You get more for the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit later, Gil has a roller coaster moment. They put sound effects in. The camera shifts up and down. He's having this kind of internal crisis that lasts about a minute, trying to figure out what the hell am I going to do. And then the roller coaster stops and he's like, okay, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me your thoughts.
So I loved the beginning. The very beginning takes place at a baseball game, you know, where you see
a St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, by the way.
Yes. Where you see this kid, getting sat down, and you hear the dad say to the usher, hey, can you watch my kid, you know, for a while? And the usher comes and sits next to the kid and starts talking to him, and the kid looks over and is like, you're just an amalgam. I mean, you're not even really here. You don't exist. You know, this is just a memory.
And the usher's talking back to him like, I'm a what?
Yeah. At least you're not a goddamn amalgam.
Yeah.
It set the tone to me for how the movie was going to go. You know, because then we know that, okay, whatever else happens in here, we're really going to be watching this through Gil's eyes. And Gil is...
Ultimately, yeah.
And Gil is... He's an insightful, but he's a reflective individual and really high strung, you know, which really kind of makes the son issue kind of poke out as well. You know, Kevin's emotional kind of concerns, which, by the way, also really realistic that mm-hmm. the principal would come in and be like, look, 20% of the teacher's time in a classroom of 38 is being spent with your kid. We can't do that. You know,
yeah,
this is a public school. We just can't. And never mind the. I think it was a carryover from an early draft where they get into the argument in the principal's office, Gil and Karen, you know, about yeah. whose fault it is. And it's like she smoked grass. And it's like
yeah,
didn't quite fit. My guess is that there was an earlier draft in which she was a pothead. But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there.
No, some of those moments with Steve Martin just throwing things back at Mary Steenburgen.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one scene where he's really tense and they're driving, and so she's heard that to help relieve tension, the colloquial term I think is roadhead.
Do you want a zombie apocalypse? That's how you get a zombie apocalypse. Cite my source, check out Geek Cave Podcast episode 113.3. What was the one that just came out not too long ago?
Yeah. So they're driving, he's tense, she takes off her seatbelt and leans into his lap to help relieve the tension. Quick cut to the car resting up against a street lamp.
130.3.
And she's, I'm sorry. It's okay. You just surprised me. The comp walks up. So how did this happen? And Steve Martin pauses for just a second, turns to his wife and says, show him, honey. End of scene.
End of scene. Have no idea how that continues on.
It's like what was scripted and what wasn't in that?
So of the strengths, we do get a sense of actual real people somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Of the weaknesses, they are so clearly defined stereotypes and caricatures that sometimes you wish that there was just a little bit more of a real person in there. You know, Susan. You know, the middle school teacher, you know, who mm-hmm. married the genius, yeah. has the genius kid, you know, yeah. Just her rebellion of eating ho-hos, you know, and
yeah.
trying to put holes in the diaphragm, which, by the way, terrible scene.
Yeah.
There's some stuff there that I'm just like, okay.
It almost feels like that family dynamic was kind of thrown in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's not a lot of it, and it is forced.
It's a little bit forced. It's like, okay, what other kind of issue can we be dealing with? You know, because yeah. we've got emotional issues with Gil's family. We've got mm-hmm. the growing up issues. You know, puberty and marriage and pregnancy with Helen's kids. And then mm-hmm. we have the unwanted, you know, or the bad parent, you know, with Larry. And it's like, what's the other one we can have? Well, what about the over-functioning parent?
There you go.
The parent who's, I guess nowadays it'd be called the helicopter parent, maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The one who's just a little bit too close and too protective. So, but we get these characters, and sometimes it's just like, it'd have been nice to see a little bit more complexity. Also, I think it really would have benefited from about 20 minutes cut because
yeah, I could see that.
There felt like there were about three endings to it. Like they honestly could have cut right after the kids play, you know, where the roller coaster thing, mm-hmm. and he kind of looks yeah. at his looks at Mary Steenburgen and puts his hand on her stomach, and it's like, you know, we could have skipped a bunch from there. Or was yeah. that at the very end? Was there another scene or two?
Because
I think it was after that. Then they had the come to Jesus with the dad, and at the little league game, and then the talk with Larry, and like a lot of that didn't need to be in there. The whole bit with Larry, who's played by Tom Hulce, and he does a good job with the role.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely believe he's a dirtbag.
Yeah.
And really the only true dirtbag in it. Like he's the dirtbag that doesn't seem to have a reason for being a dirtbag. You know, cuz Frank the grandpa, the dad of the dad, you know, of the
yeah.
the adult children, is kind of given a reason for why he's a jerk. You know. Anyway. Overall, this is a really good movie. It is really fun to watch Keanu Reeves and Leif Phoenix, also known yeah. as Joaquin Phoenix, who wanted his name to be of nature, like his brother River.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting to watch the two of them, you know, in these early, early roles.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of see. And I get that Keanu Reeves kind of had that same character through Bill and Ted, and so a lot of those early things for him were the same character.
Yeah.
But it worked. You know?
But at least in this one, you get a little bit more acting out of Keanu.
Well, and I'm not even putting it down because
as opposed to Bill and Ted.
Yes, as opposed to Bill and Ted. I think what I would go for here is that in this one, you get a sense that there's actually depth to the character in Todd, even though it's being played as just another dumb kid.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, when he goes and talks to Gary about puberty and so forth, it's just like, you know, it's totally normal. We've all done it, you know. He comes out and talks to Helen. He's like, can I be, like, straight with you? Like, can we talk straight? That is one messed up little dude. You know, but it works so well. And I like how that's the turning point for Helen's opinion of him. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, this isn't just a dumb kid. He's actually got other thoughts in his head.
Yeah.
You know.
And that whole scene is also interspersed with you get a little bit more of Todd's background because you find out he had a bad father.
Yeah.
And when they shift from talking about Gary over to talking about fathers in general and Todd's father, you can see the shift in how Keanu is talking and presenting and then back over.
Yeah. It's a little bit jarring, but it comes across not as a mistake of acting. It comes across as the character kind of shaking himself out of this thing. It's like, I don't like to think and talk about this, so I'm, you know, let's go back to safety. Back to dumb Todd.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So and it works. It really does work in that scene.
Mm-hmm. And I do like how Gary's, you know, the paper bag that she thinks is drugs is, you know, full of porn tapes.
Porno, yeah.
By the by, my favorite piece of that is that the top porno, like, box that falls out is Back to the Future. Uh-huh. And I'm pretty sure that it's the next year that Mary Steenburgen's in Back to the Future 3. It's like...
Yeah, I think also Dragnet fell out of the...
Yes. Yes, it did. But I don't think anyone from Dragnet was in this one. Fun fact, though, the school, the Edgar Paris or whatever, was named after one of the guys who worked on, was it Happy Days that Ron Howard was in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was named after, like, the director of photography for Happy Days.
Nice.
So, this is a movie that is very 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in hairstyles, but in acting, in storytelling, and so forth. It is a PG-13 movie in the way that you would expect a European movie to be PG-13.
Yes.
I.e., there's not a lot of, there's no blood or gore. There's two car accidents of which nothing is shown of viscera.
Mm-mm.
But there are at least two or three sex scenes that, you know, that show up. So I'm not against them or otherwise, but I will say that I was taken slightly aback when my 7-year-old child was in the room and we're getting ready and suddenly Todd and Julie are having a tryst. I'm just like, it's time to brush your teeth, isn't it, child?
Yeah. Sorry.
not ready to explain this to you yet. No, I don't want to say why he's got a camera.
To be fair, it is PG-13 and your daughter is not 13.
This is true. But I rented this from Amazon and it did not have the rating on the on the page that I was looking at. So
what you're saying is we can blame the Bezos.
Absolutely. And we should. He doesn't even have to be his fault, but I'm just going to blame him.
Yeah. So. Well, ultimately, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
I really am. I think it's your turn.
I'll come up with a something.
All right.